What a blessing it was, and they were a blessing, and they are a blessing. And I just think sometimes we take for granted something of real good that God's given us in this whole area of worship and music and the commitment which it takes to be part of a team who are wanting to do better at their own practical skills as well as sensing the Spirit of God and drawing on Him during our times together. So we really appreciate what you put into it, John and team. Okay, I'm going to speak today on a subject which I feel is really important for us. And I'm asking for your attention because at the end of my talk, I want us to make a declaration, pray a prayer, and lift off demonic stuff which God wants us to be rid of. So you need to hear what I'm going to be talking about. Last week I was sharing a perspective on this shaking economy which we are currently part of, and tried to share some advice from Scripture and about finances and the importance of giving and not holding back and honouring God with our money and stuff like that, eradicating debt and things. And it was under the heading, In God We Trust. And today, my heading is, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. I'm going to explain this as we go through. I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. Okay? In Mark chapter 9, we have an interesting story. A father came to his Jesus' disciples with his young boy who was sick and demon-possessed. And he came to the disciples and he asked them to deliver this little boy from the demons. And they couldn't do it. And the disciples didn't know why they couldn't do it. And the father didn't know why they couldn't do it either. So in desperation, he came to Jesus. And in verse 21 of that chapter, Jesus asks the boy's father, he says, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him, that's the spirit, into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on me and help us. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. If you can, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You dead and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. This father, I can really relate to. He came to Jesus, and he says, if you can do it, Lord, do it. And Jesus sort of rebukes him. He says, if you can, you're talking to me. You're talking to the Messiah, the anointed one. If you can, all things are possible if you believe. Nothing is impossible, he was saying, if you believe. And for me and for us as a church, I feel there's a level of faith and belief. But like this father, we need to say, I do believe, but help me overcome any and every level of unbelief in us, that we also might be able to do all the things that Jesus wants for us. So I have a challenge today. And the challenge is, I believe we have allowed unbelief into our lives as individuals. And that has affected us corporately as a church. So I'm going to be asking for honesty at the end of my talk. And if you can relate to what I'm saying, I believe with confession, with repentance, with acknowledgement, we can deal with unbelief today in the name of Jesus. So listen to what I'm going to say. If you can't relate to it, well, we might need to pray for you, or you might be living up there in total faith anyhow, and that's a good place to be. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, the writer says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." You see, the writer is saying, let us throw off everything that hinders. And unbelief is one of these major weapons of the enemy, which does hinder and will hinder us in fulfilling the purposes of God if we allow it to. In fact, unbelief paralyzes us. Actually, before I go on, I'm going to pray, because I want our eyes to be opened. I don't want me just to be talking here and people not seeing and not responding. I'm going to pray that our eyes are opened to hear what God is saying. So, Lord, we come to you. I believe you've given me, you've shown me an area which we need to address. And I pray, Holy Spirit, illuminate our hearts. Help us to see. Help us to respond, that we as a church may get rid of everything that hinders us, that we might run with perseverance the race marked out for us. In Jesus' name, I pray. I rebuke the enemy right now. I rebuke the enemy and the blindness which he would wish to inflict upon us. And I declare light and truth, which sets us free, in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, unbelief hinders us, but paralyzes us. In the natural as well as the spiritual. Those of you who are in sport or like sport will know that you could have the best, England could be probably the best team in the world, for example. Quality players. But as soon as lack of confidence gets into that team, it doesn't matter how good they are, there's not a belief in themselves that they can win. And they go out and you think, you see them playing at club level and they should come together. I mean, they're doing pretty well at the moment, so, you know, it doesn't quite apply. But a team, any team, they could be quality team, top-notch players. But if lack of confidence and unbelief gets into their system, they become just very, very normal and natural players. It's the same spiritually. If we allow unbelief, lack of confidence in God and his word to affect us, rather than be supernatural and spiritual men and women of faith, we live at a lower plane and a lower level. And the impossible, which in the Lord we can overcome, becomes impossible because it is impossible. Because we've lost that sense of destiny and purpose which belief and faith brings to us. So I believe unbelief's a spirit. It's over the United Kingdom. It's rife in the church generally. If you just consider, mostly our defaults in the United Kingdom are towards unbelief rather than faith. It's mostly towards negative response rather than positive response. It's mostly towards cynicism rather than expectation. I think it's a national thing. But the God wants us to break through as a church and rise up in faith and believe his word and his promises rather than circumstances and situations around us. Unbelief is from the enemy. And we need to get rid of it. A couple of things about unbelief. Number one, it keeps us in our sins. There's a couple of verses I want to read. You know the first bit, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. That's a challenge. We know those verses off by heart, many of us. But the truth is, church, many of our friends are in condemnation and judgment and are not going to go to heaven because of unbelief. The only way through is faith and belief in the Word of God and in what Jesus has done for us. Is that not what Jesus says? Unbelief kept us in our sins and under judgment and condemnation. But because we've believed in the sacrifice of Jesus and put our trust and confidence in what he's accomplished, we are taken from darkness to light, and immediately we can experience eternal life now and to come. That's serious, isn't it? Unbelief is holding back husbands from wives here, children from families here, friends that we meet with, neighbours which we see. Unbelief, the devil is just inflicted it with unbelief. They cannot see and they don't believe. We need to pray. We need to help them see so that they can believe and be saved. So number one, unbelief, it keeps us in our sins. Now, I'm not sure if that applies to anybody here, but if it does, I want to say to you, by the end of this morning, you can move from darkness to light, from judgment to salvation, from eternal death to eternal life. By belief, simple belief and faith in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray your eyes will be opened to see that that is possible. But number two, the other aspect of unbelief, it prevents God's will being done. You see, it is powerful, it is a spirit. Jesus came, I think it was Capernaum. He came to Capernaum. Jesus' whole intention, purpose of coming, besides dying on the cross, which was the ultimate show of it, was to overcome, to destroy the works of the enemy. So where there was sickness, he brought healing. Where there's deception, he brought truth. Where there was bondage and the need for deliverance, like that little boy we just read about earlier, he brought freedom. And he came to this town. And the scripture says he couldn't do much there, because of their lack of faith and unbelief. This is Jesus. This is God's Son. This is the anointed one without measure. Could not even himself do much in that village because of their unbelief. I want to say, church, how much more would that affect us here through unbelief? God's plans, God's purposes to be worked out in our lives, destiny to be fulfilled, vision to be accomplished. But we allow unbelief in, and it's all supernatural. That supernatural dimension is just held back because of unbelief. If it happened to Jesus, it would affect us too. Can you see why we have to get rid of it? Get rid of that cloak of unbelief and rise up as men and women who believe. So what areas do I see it manifesting in LifeSpring? Well, look, here's a few thoughts for you to consider. You tell me, does this apply? Are you believing for your cell to grow? Really believing for your cell to grow? Or have you settled for a cell of whatever it might be, whatever number it's been for a year or two? Are you believing that you could actually disciple 12? Do you believe you could do that? Are you expecting that that will happen in your lifetime? That you could actually have 12 disciples who've got their own cells inputting into them? Or are you saying, I don't think that could happen? If you're saying the latter, where does that come from? Unbelief. Lack of faith. Do you believe the vision of G12 can work in this church and in this country, for example? Or are you one of these people which say, it's all right for South America, it's all right for the rest of the world, but it's not all right for Europe? Can you believe for a large church? A church of 1,000 or even more. Can you believe for that? Or is this just like hype imagination, and it just, you know, your heart doesn't, deep down you're saying, well, I don't think it'll ever happen. You tell me, you be honest with yourself. Do you have faith? Can you believe for the impossible to happen here? Can you believe for healing? An area in your life, or somebody in your home, family, where there's been sickness, even for years. Do you believe God could set you free? Is there faith there to believe that that could happen in your life? Or do you believe your family could be saved? Do you believe your children can come back to God? Do you believe your husband or your wife can find faith again in God? You just ask yourself, where's your faith level? Is it, yes, I do believe, help my unbelief? Or is it, I've let go of that. I've prayed those things. It just hasn't happened. I'm not believing for it. I tell you, if you're not believing for it, the enemy's got in. Because God wants to sow faith in our hearts. Can you believe for a building? Really believe for a building, for LifeSpring Church? Even during economic downturn, is it possible? Tell me it is, church. Yeah. Yes, it is possible. Can we believe for that? Can you believe for a breakthrough in your situation? Finances might have been difficult for months, for years, but God can break through. Job situation, relationship situations, relationships with mums and dads, children. Can you believe for a breakthrough in it? You see, it depends where we're at. But if we're really, really honest, some of you will have to admit and say, I've let it go. I used to believe, but I don't anymore. I can't see it ever happening. I can't see this ever changing. Spirit of unbelief, it's come in. We've allowed it in. We need to get rid of it. We need to get rid of it. All those things I've mentioned, I believe, are in the will of God. He wants to see, he wants none, that none should perish. So of course he wants cells and churches to grow and be influential. He wants to reach as many as we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe for us, the vision of 12 is important. And you know, Jesus set a good model, absolute genius of a vision. Just choosing 12 to change the world. That's all he focused on. 12 men changed the whole world. And now 2 billion of us are alive today because he invested in 12. Can you believe for that healing? So God wants to bring healing. His kingdom, your kingdom come. All that healing, all that health which is in heaven, let it touch earth. That's the prayer. We believe it. For the building, well, I believe that's in his heart too. But unbelief will hinder us from receiving the promises and blessings of God. Consider for a moment with me the children of Israel. Miraculously delivered out of Egypt. 3 million possibly, 3 million men, women and children led by Moses out of this powerful country and powerful king, miraculously delivered. Red Sea opens up before them, miraculous, walking through the Red Sea, comes back, destroys the army of the Egyptians as they were chasing them. And the children of Israel, God's plan, God's purposes, there's a land out there for you to get hold of and inherit. And they come through the desert and they're camping at a place called Horeb. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6, this is Moses, he's recounting it now. He said, the Lord, our God, said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. An incredible promise, an incredible purpose for the children of Israel, the people of God. God even says, I've given it you already. I mean, he thinks like this because he knows the future from the beginning. You know, he knows the end from the beginning. So in his eyes, what he sees, it's already theirs. They've just got to go in and get hold of it and apply and appropriate the victory which he's already won. You know, he says, I have given it you. It's yours for the taking. So why did the children of Israel not receive that inheritance? Was the prophetic word wrong? Did God make a mistake? Was the vision wrong? It was very clear. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they'd all had the promise, your descendants will inherit the land. Do you know why they didn't? One primary reason: unbelief. Listen to this from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. Today, this is quoting Moses, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? That was like the equivalent to the church. This was the people of God at that time. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, picture of the land, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Ouch. The purposes of God have been spoken over us, but because they've been spoken doesn't make it happen automatically. Just as the purposes of God were spoken over the children of Israel, 3 million minus two never experienced the promise of God. Why? Because of unbelief. It wasn't primarily immorality. It wasn't primarily pride, greed, bitterness, ungratefulness, all the other sins of the flesh which you can think of, which show and manifest themselves all, you know, bad, wicked, this, that, and the other. It was unbelief. That's all it was, unbelief in the heart. And it prevented them from receiving what God had for them. Don't you find that challenging? I find that really, really challenging. So where did this unbelief come from? On this occasion, it was listening to the wrong voices. And I think that is often how unbelief gets into our hearts. Do you remember even in the Garden of Eden, the serpent comes to Eve, did God say? Begins to sow doubt in the mind of Eve, right there back then. And here, the children of Israel, they listened to the wrong voices. We must be very careful how we listen and who we listen to. Or unbelief can get into our hearts too. And I believe some of us have been listening to wrong voices. And when we listen to wrong voices, we give a foothold for the enemy. And he gets in and takes, well, he sits down there very comfortably and just spreads unbelief about. And wherever we go, rather than taking faith, we take unbelief. You see, the men of faith declared, you can see it in Numbers 13, this land is good. It's a very, very good land. There's fruit. We couldn't, you know, we needed a few men to carry the bunch of grapes because it was so heavy and lush and amazing. We've tasted and we've seen this land. Sure, there are some giants there, but God's bigger. He will hand them over to us. Their focus was on God. Their focus was on his word and on his promise. This was God's plan, to take over this land and enjoy all the fruits of it. And two men out of 12 saw that and believed it. But the other 10, you see, they focused on the circumstances. They said, yes, it is good, but they're giants. We seem like grasshoppers in their sight. There are even cannibals there. They even eat their own people. They're stronger than us. And they sowed fear and a bad report. They acknowledged it was good, but they also decided it's too big, it's too great a conquest. We will never be able to take it. And who did the people believe? They believed the ten. And a whole generation missed out on the purposes of God. Isn't that sad? God's plan was to give them that land. God had already got it for them. It was there for the taking. I said, no, we don't believe. We could never do that. They'll eat us. Yeah, we look so small in their sight. Yes, it's good. We prefer to stay in a desert. Actually, they wanted to go back to Egypt. And they missed out because of unbelief. Last Tuesday, many of you were there, would have heard Pastor Ricardo. I'd sat through a G12 conference earlier on, and on a Monday in Slough, just really, really helpful with a few of us from here and others. Pastor Ricardo brought what I would have said was a simple message. It was an uncomplicated message. And as he was speaking about Bartimaeus needing to throw off his cloak in order to get what Jesus had got for him, conviction hit my heart. I thought, Lord, for me, there's unbelief there. I don't think he even mentioned it, actually. But for me, I just saw unbelief. It was stopping me from receiving what God's promised for me. And I felt such a conviction. And then it got worse than this, because I thought, you know, like as leader or pastor here, I've opened the door. I've given the devil a foothold. And I believe in spiritual covering and authority and stuff like that. And I think in opening that door, I've allowed unbelief. Now, I'm not the only door into the church. I'm not saying that. But because of my role, I've allowed unbelief into the church too. And I just felt on that occasion, I just needed to confess that, repent of that, and to close that door in my life. That we might, and I want today close the door in the church's life, that we might rise up as men and women of God, not believing the lies of the enemy. We throw that cloak off and we receive all that God wants for us. And then a day later, I was in another retreat thing with some Reading pastors. And that word was so incredibly, supernaturally confirmed in a one-to-one situation which I was just working through and sitting through. Unbelief, I realized, was there, and it needs to go. You see, God's got a plan for LifeSpring. Totally impossible in our own strength. Debs, I want you to get out the door again today, but you were brilliant with Gideon. You know, just bringing us back to that story. Totally impossible for Gideon to overcome these hundreds of thousands of Midianites. But the promise was God was with him, and he believed, and he won. Joshua here, he actually did take the people through to the promised land. Why? Because God said, I will be with you. I'll never leave you. You obey me. You believe in me and trust me, and you will see. And what they didn't accomplish a generation later, Joshua accomplished because he believed. Pastor Caesar, for those who don't know, from Bogota in Colombia, 20-odd years ago, the biggest church in Bogota was about 1,000. His biggest experience was a church of pastoring 120, but he began to believe God for multitudes. He'd never experienced it in his life, but he didn't look at the circumstances. He heard the word, trusted God, and now it's one of the biggest churches in the world, of maybe hundreds of thousands of people in that particular church. All the odds were against all those people I've mentioned, looking at circumstances, but the word of God was spoken, and they believed. Church, we need to believe. We need to believe and get rid of unbelief. Just got another example for us to look at quickly, just to learn from this. God had called Abraham. He'd given him an amazing promise. Even while his wife was in her prime, she was barren. She couldn't have children. And yet the word of God came to Abraham, you are going to be the father of many nations. And you know, when you're younger, and even though you hadn't experienced the joy of having your own children, I'm sure at that time Abraham would have thought, well, there's plenty of time. God can do this. God will work it through. This is okay. We're going to be a father of many nations. But time and went and went and went, and eventually he's about 100 years old. Sarah wasn't a lot, yes. And it hadn't happened. There was no child. It seemed impossible before. It was totally impossible in the natural realm now. And listen to this from Romans 4, verse 18. This is how Paul describes Abraham's story. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Even though it was impossible, he still held on to the word and believed. And it says, and so he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. The promise was fulfilled. The vision occurred. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he's about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Notice he didn't disregard the situation. He saw he realized, old, wrinkled, shriveled up, not much was going to happen here. I'm 100, and my wife's not that much younger. I realized that, he said. It says he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, but he believed the word that had been spoken. Guys, we need to relate that to every situation that we're in. The words which God has spoken are not totally dependent on the circumstances, whether they get worse or better around us, but on our faith, our belief, and our hope in what's been spoken. We are men of faith, women of faith, and we continue to believe. And it goes on. It says, even though he considered the bad circumstances, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. But he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Wow. God can do what he's promised for us if we believe and hold on unswervingly to his call on our lives. So, church, I believe we wavered. I wavered unintentionally, but I'm committed to a vision. Unbelief has somewhere got in, and we're going to get rid of it today. And I want to ask you to think, this is the sort of challenges I have been facing, I guess. Can we change the culture of a church? Could we become a church with a vision to win the lost, grow sales all across Reading? Could we actually believe that word which I've put lower down in my vocabulary, multitudes? Could we believe for multitudes? Could we become a church prepared to follow and submit to God's vision for us? Putting down our agendas. Say, Lord, it's your agenda we're following. Is that possible? Or are we going to be like the rest of society and have our own independent views and do our own stuff and do our own things? One church member said to me probably 5-6 years ago, he said, Neville, it's great. You can say what you like, but in the end, we'll just do what we want to do. The truth is, he's probably right, but that needs to change. That culture needs to change to one of fellowship and one of submission. Could we be a church which really puts God first in our decisions, who really loves each other and him, who really prays and intercedes, who gives generously, who honours and respects each other and their leaders? Can we change the culture? I believe we can. I believe God is changing it. Could we be a church who goes forward in unity, vision and purpose, working together to see a vision fulfilled? Brothers, sisters, I'm saying yes. In Jesus' name, yes. I do believe these things can happen. And I want to give you an opportunity now. John, don't mind if you just get up and just have a little bit playing in the background for the moment. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to what I've been saying this morning. And there's two groups of people which I want to respond. The first is, and I'm not asking you to stand up individually, but the first will be those who've heard what I've said and said, Neville, I'm absolutely with you. Yes, I do believe. And I hope there's a good number here which are able to say, yes, I do believe. But there may be others of you here who say, I've heard what you've said, Neville, and I would like to be able to say, yes, I do believe, but at this moment in time, I have to admit and confess, unbelief is in my heart. I'm not asking you to categorize which group you might be in. But if you're in one of those groups, if you're in a group which says, yes, I do believe, God's called us, we will fulfill it, hallelujah, please stand. And if you're in a group which says, I want to be able to say that, help my unbelief, please stand. And can we just do that now, please? Please be honest, please be honest. I'm not looking for a big crowd. I'm looking for those who want to be honest. Those who say, yes, I've got faith, I believe. And those who are saying, I haven't got faith, but I want faith. I want to believe. I want to get rid of unbelief that I might believe the promises and purposes of God for this church and for my life. Situations which you're in at the moment, you can't see a way through, but we're going to trust God. We're going to believe. Russell, there's a prayer on the laptop there. I'd like us to pray in a moment or two together. You see, we're going to lift off unbelief today. Have a quick look at that. Russell, if you could just run through, you know, another 20 seconds there. Next page. I just want to make sure people are happy with what we're going to be praying. Because I want us to pray this prayer out together. This is spiritual warfare. This is making declarations. You see, if we clear and remove the foothold of the enemy, there's nowhere for him to go. He's got to go. And we're going to, in saying this prayer, we're making a confession. Some of you are saying, you're just confessing and standing with us, that's great. For others of us, where unbelief's got in, we're making this confession. Saying, Lord, it's got in. Confess, as you can do this in your hearts now, just repent. I realize I've allowed other voices to get into my life. I've realized I'm believing circumstances and situations rather than trusting in God. I've allowed unbelief to enter. And on this slide here, you'll see there, this is some of the results of unbelief: disobedience, hardness of heart, cynicism, apathy. Comes through unbelief. Scripture says, the illustration there, comes through unbelief. So if you're still with me, having seen what we're going to be saying and praying, would you just like to come forward, please, to stand here together? Please, no pressure. I'm not asking people to respond who just don't want to. I'm asking for those which see in their hearts unbelief's there and we're going to get rid of it. Or we're standing in faith because our heart is already in faith. I believe can we just come down the aisles a bit, move into the middle as people just make some space? That we probably should have stayed where we are, actually, because everybody's come pretty much, but it's the whole group. You see, today we're going to throw off a cloak. We're going to throw off a cloak of unbelief. We're going to... Sorry, yeah, just move the chairs. Just move, make space. Just do what we need to do. Hallelujah. You see, all that we're doing today is because Jesus has conquered. Jesus has won the victory on the cross at Calvary. He said, all power, all authority is mine. Therefore go, and I'm never going to leave you. And he's never going to leave us because it's an impossible task he's given us. We will never fulfill it in our own strength. So we need him, but he's called us. And as we rise up in faith and belief, we will be overcomers. We will see circumstances and situations change because of the blood of Jesus, because of the power of Jesus. And that's why I want us to pray this prayer through together in faith. In faith. Like that Father, even, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And as we get to the end, having made those declarations, let's believe, reckon we are free. The enemy, that cloak has gone. We can rise up and live as men and women of faith. And then we've got to keep free. We've got to keep not listening to those voices. We've got to keep trusting the word of God. In fact, I think as a family, I've got it written out for me here, I'm going to read this each day this week. I'd like us as our little family. I wanted to speak out these words, trusting, believing that what God's done, he will fulfill in our lives and not giving the enemy any foothold. So let's pray this through together, can we? Father, we come to you and we confess the sin of unbelief in your presence. Lord, we say, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. We renounce it, reject it, and turn away from it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we submit ourselves afresh to you this morning and choose to believe your promises and words spoken over us. We declare we are called and chosen for purpose. We are sons and heirs of God. You always lead us in triumphal procession in Christ. We are more than conquerors through you who love us. And we will overcome in the name of Jesus. We know that you who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. In fact, he's already defeated. We believe we will win souls, grow cells and form 12s. We will see many come to faith and be added to your church. We will be known for our love for you and each other, our worship and celebration, and our radical obedience. We believe we will shine as a light in darkness, and people will see our good deeds and glorify God. In fact, we believe nothing is impossible. So we resist the devil, all his pressures, his attacks, his deceptions, every instrument or agent he would seek to use against us. We resist him, drive him from us, and exclude him from us in the name of Jesus. We command every evil spirit related to unbelief, disobedience, hardness of heart, cynicism, apathy to leave us now. We loose ourselves from every demonic bondage and influence over our lives and over our bodies. Lord, we do believe. Help us overcome our unbelief. Lord, we ask you now to fill us once again with your Holy Spirit. Touch our lives with your love, that we might impact many for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Let's applaud the Lord. Mighty One. Mighty One. King of Kings. Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. 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 The devil is defeated. The devil is defeated. Unbelief has to go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whoa. 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 We're just going to continue in worship now. And while we're up here, just stay where you are if you like. We're going to sing, How Great is Our God. How Great is Our God.